Welcome back to this week's edition of the Midweek Reality Check with Michael Pinto, where I try to keep Wall Street and your money real.
The FOMC meeting and press conference for September was held today, and it was expected that Powell would cut rates by 50 basis points. The odds were about 70% that he would do so. Well, the preponderance of Wall Street lackeys were busy begging for a series of immediate and deep reductions in borrowing costs. And even some in D.C., like Senator Elizabeth Warren, were obsequiously begging for 75 basis points in a thinly veiled attempt to keep a Democrat in the White House. Well, Mr. Powell didn't disappoint Wall Street. He began his first rate cut in 4 years with a 50 basis point cut, thus proving that he is bought and paid for by Wall Street. In cutting by 50 basis points, he has also tacitly admitted that he, along with his merry band of counterfeiting money-printing monkeys, are utterly clueless when it comes to monetary policy and completely incompetent when it comes to discerning the direction of inflation. He was too late in raising rates in 2022, having to move by 75 basis point increments, and he is now having to move by larger increments than 25 basis points because he is late in cutting rates, according to him. The FOMC has now also projected that the Fed funds rate will be brought down to 4.4% at the end of this year and will be at 3.4% at the end of 2025. Now, the notion that the Fed must perform a rate cut of more than 25 basis points now is absurd. After all, headline consumer price inflation is still rising at 2.5% year over year. And the core rate of inflation is up 3.2% year over year, which are well above the Fed's target of 2%. It's still well above that. I wonder, was there any discussion of the dangers of cutting rates aggressively while inflation is still well above target? Was there any discussion of that? The Atlanta Fed GDP Now estimate for Q3 GDP growth is 3%. That's well above trend growth of 2%. The unemployment rate is at an historically low 4.2% level. Now, while that is up from 3.4% in April of 2023, it is still far below the long-term average rate of 5.7%. And asset prices are at record highs. Housing is out of reach of most Americans, and stock prices are at unprecedented valuations. Financial conditions are extremely easy, and credit spreads are very tight. So what's the panic rush, Powell? Now, the joke is that we are most likely still heading for a recession, one that is necessary for the long-term health of the economy and the viability of the middle class. But it is clear that no politician or maniac central banker will allow even a small contraction in GDP to occur without a fight. The point being that no matter what they do, they cannot repeal business cycle. Cannot be repealed. A recession is coming, and the only question is, will it be accompanied by deflation? Or will it be marred by devastating stagflation? I believe the interest rate cuts currently on the schedule will most likely end up being too little, too late to stop the deflation from happening. That's the way it's always been in the past. But as always, we are viewing the salient indicators to keep us on the right path. In the meantime, the economy is weakening, and here's some more evidence for you. Ally Financial CFO Russ Hutchinson said last week that the bank's typical borrower is, quote, struggling with a high rate of inflation and a high cost of living, and now more recently a weakening employment picture, close quote. A particularly difficult area of Ally's loan base is in the auto market. Hutchinson said Ally experienced a rise in delinquencies of about 20 basis points above what Ally expected for the last 2 months. Net charge-offs, the debts and financial institutions write-offs on the assumption they will never be repaid, were about 10 basis points higher than Ally expected across July and August. U.S. consumer delinquency expectations rose for the third straight month to the highest level since April 2020, pandemic time, according to the New York Fed's August survey of consumer expectations, which was released on September 9th. The National Federation of Independent Businesses Small Business Optimism Index fell by 2.5 points in August to 91.2, erasing all of July's gain. This is the 32nd consecutive month below the 50-year average of 98. The uncertainty index rose to 92, its highest level since October 2020. Inflation, are you listening, Mr. Powell? Inflation remains a top issue among small business owners, with 24% of owners reporting it is their top small business operating issue. That was down just 1 point from July. The frequency of reports of positive profit trends was a net negative 37%, 7 points worse than in July and the lowest since March of 2010. The net percentage of owners expecting higher real sales volumes fell 9 points in August to a net negative 18%. Retail sales volume expectations were the largest contributor to the decline in the optimism index, along with earnings trends and expected business conditions. Not very good for the small business sector. Again, we may need to bring the level of asset prices lower, and a recession may be necessary to make that process happen. But Powell's fighting it tooth and nail. He does not want any downtick in the stock market. He does not want any kind of contraction in GDP growth. And he does not want deflation because he knows that it's going to wipe out the banking system. So I don't blame him if he went 25 basis points. But 50 basis points? Given the fact there's none of his data dependency points that he looks at are calling for a recession right now. So why did he do it? He is a lackey of Wall Street. That is the only explanation that makes any bit of sense. Now I want to close with some fun facts here. The government has laid out $1.049 trillion on debt service payments, up 30% from the same period a year ago. This year, $1.049 trillion on debt service payments. The budget deficit for this fiscal year is $2 trillion, up 24% from the year prior. Now, the budget deficit for just the 1 month of August of last year was actually not a deficit. It was a surplus of $89.2 billion. That's a surplus for August of last year, $89.2 billion. Do you want to know what the federal deficit for August of this year was? Because it was a deficit, it wasn't a surplus. Well, I'm going to tell you. It was a staggering $380 billion for one freaking month. That was the budget deficit for 1 month, as compared to $89.2 billion of a surplus in the corresponding month for last year. Now, $380 billion is really a gargantuan deficit for the year, almost any year prior to the Great Recession. But we had it in 1 month. It isn't any wonder why gold is hitting all-time highs. The sad truth is the Fed cannot allow interest rates to be high because the Treasury would become insolvent. That's why it's really cutting interest rates now. There just are not enough free market buyers who want to purchase the gargantuan mountain of existing U.S. debt, which is growing both intractably and inexorably, especially at low interest rates. So our central bank has to be the predominant buyer. And that sadly means after this current battle with disinflation and quite likely recession and deflation is over, intractable and inexorable stagflation will be our destiny. What is more, while the Fed's latest dovish move to lower the overnight interbank lending rate will bring down short-term rates for sure, it may also cause long-term rates to rise. What else would you expect to occur when the market loses faith in the government's willingness and ability to fight inflation? As a matter of fact, that is exactly what happened today. The 30-year yield is up 7 basis points, and the 10-year note is up 6 basis points, and even the 2-year note yield is up 1 basis point. Oh no, Mr. Powell, you're supposed to come to the rescue with massive rate cuts. But doing so is going to put a dagger in the heart of those who believe that the Fed can actually prosecute a fight against inflation. And that means that the bond vigilantes are going to come back big time, start selling long-term debt. And that means all of your moves to try to make the economy better by cutting rates are going to backfire and blow up. Now, as of today, we remain in sector two, disinflation and slowing growth. Recession probabilities increase as we go throughout the end of this year and can increase greatly as we go through 2025, depending on the outcome of the election, which is now less than 2 months away. As always, we will rely on the inflation-deflation economic cycle model to steer us through these treacherous waters with the objective of making money in all economic scenarios. Recession, depression, reflation, intractable inflation, government insolvency, no matter what. It is the only way to know for sure if this latest Powell pivot is going to be enough to fix everything, it's going to make everything great, or more likely will have the same effect as performing CPR on a cadaver.
Thank you so much for listening to this edition of the Reality Check. 5 minutes of sanity in an insane world. Please remember, if you are not already an investor with PPS, you can email me directly using mpento@pentoport.com or call the office using 732-772-9500 to get information about our portfolio services. You should also go to Amazon and order my book, The Coming Bond Market Collapse. Subscribers should contact an investment advisor before acting on any information contained in this podcast. No information on this podcast constitutes an offer to sell or buy any financial instruments or to provide any investment services. Subscribers understand there's an inherent risk in investing. PPS is a registered investment advisor.